The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And who does the Sharks coach Ryan Warsawski send out? Veteran Tyler Toffoli. Remember, he scored a pretty big goal to tie the shootout against Toronto before the game winner by Fabian Zetterlund up in Toronto. Here comes Tyler. He's got to score here against Dostal. And he moves in and he holds the puck and he waits and he shoots it up high and wide. And Anaheim will hang on to win by the score of 4-3 in the shootout. Lucas Dostal had a good game too. And check out the Sharks. They come over right away to console Alexander Georgiev. He was magnificent in the third period and the overtime and really in the shootout too.
Yeah, really slow start, which really hasn't been us for the majority of the season. Surprised us a little bit, and then for us to get it going was good to see. I love their second period. I thought we did some really good things. Then Granin went out there in the third, some big goals there by Vlasic and Winnie, and good play by Ecky. And then just fell short in the shootout.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing on this Wednesday morning? The San Jose Sharks do not have us waking up winners today, but they do have us waking up with a more positive mindset after playing a much, much better game than what we saw previously in the 6-1 and 8-1 losses against the Rangers and Kings. And for the San Jose Sharks, this was a game that once again looked like they were in danger of having another very poor performance. They gave up the possession early in this game. The first period was all Anaheim, and they found themselves down by a score of 3-1 after the first 20 minutes. And so at that point, in the last 2 1/3 minutes of hockey, or 140 minutes overall, they had been outscored 17-3 on aggregate. And that was not where they wanted to be, because again, they gave up 6, they gave up 8, that's 14. 3 more, plus the 3 goals they had scored in the last 140 minutes at that point. That's not where they wanted to be. But they did get themselves back into the game. The way they played between the first period and the second period was night and day. And that's exactly the type of response that you needed from San Jose to get themselves back into the game. And that's something that they have not been great at doing this year, to really create momentum on their own. Like, when momentum happens, they're good at riding it, but they weren't scoring goals at that point. They didn't flip the game. They were just working hard and playing the game that they wanted to play. I think that was the thing that, most struck me, is that they just were able to take advantage of what was given with them. And this is a game in which they also were not able to score on another 5-on-3 opportunity. And that's 2 straight games where San Jose's power play has fallen short in a very critical moment. But, they didn't let them get them down overall. They didn't let it defeat them. They kept on trying to play the game that they know they're capable of playing. And they had a great game from Alexander Georgiev. They did not fold. They did not let this game get away from it. They kept with it. They gave themselves a chance. And in doing so, they were able to force overtime, earn a point out of this. It goes to a shootout. They fell short in a shootout because that's just the way that it goes. Shootouts, you never know. In my opinion, it doesn't have anything to do with the 60 minutes of hockey we just saw, or 65 minutes, I should say, after the overtime. But it does show you that the Sharks can fight their way back into a game, and even when anything is not going their way, that they do have the ability to get themselves back into a game, even when the plays that are happening are not necessarily goals or fights or big momentum swinging moments. They just played a more physical game. They played a more disciplined game. Some of the immaturity that we'd seen in the last 2 games disappeared. There were not as many attempts to make big passes. There were not as many attempts to do the big play over and over. Instead of trying to make things happen over gripping and overextending themselves, I won't say they let the game come to them, but they were just a little bit more patient and they were a little bit harder working, and their physicality paid off up until the moments when Shakir Mukhmudulin, after being physical and cross-checking, gets slammed into the boards and walks away with what I assume is a shoulder or collarbone injury. Hopefully it's not as bad as it looked. I don't know what happened, obviously. We didn't get an update after the game. But that was I think, a response to the physicality that the Sharks have been showing at that point to get themselves back into the game, which I appreciated. I really don't understand why every little thing that happens in the NHL now feels that it needs some sort of large physical response. Yeah, Mook Madulin put on a cross check, but it was nothing that was overly, you know, aggressive or egregious, or that was going to do anything more than draw a 2-minute penalty. And suddenly that leads to a response that has him taken down into the boards and walks away with a potentially serious injury. That seems ridiculous. And I would hope that there is some sort of look at that play. While I can't say there was intent to injure, I do think that there was intent to retaliate. And retaliatory plays, we all know in sports, are often penalized more harshly. So we'll see what comes of the situation. We'll see if the NHL takes a look at it. I don't really know. It was disappointing. I know some people said that they thought there should have been more response from the Sharks, but at that point, I think that they had been responding nicely in the game. And from that point on, they did score 2 goals. Mark-Edward Vlasic gets the Sharks on the board, and then they get the game tire from Alex Wennberg. You know, that was the type of game and the type of response that I was hoping to see. And I'm not looking at everything that happens and saying, oh, you need to go out and fight somebody. There needs to be more of an effort to specifically gain revenge. I think that is something that we overly focus on, and the best revenge is getting yourself back into a game and giving yourself an opportunity. You don't want to take too many penalties. You've got to be, you know, aware in the moment. I can remember, you know, too many times in games that I've thought critical of situations where one player, you know, gets baited by another, and then they go and they fight him, and then a goon on one team has taken off a very good player on another. That's not what you want to have happen. You know, you can't just try and retaliate at all times. You've got to stay focused on your game, and maybe, you know, next year when they play, maybe there's a big hit, maybe there's something that happens. But retaliation for the sake of retaliation is not always the answer. And I think that the Sharks, again, were focused on getting themselves back into the game. And you do not get yourself back into the game by taking a penalty, bad or otherwise. You might disagree based on your interpretation of the quote-unquote hockey codes. But I think this is something that guys know, smart guys in the league know, that there is a time and a place. And I think that they were wise enough to recognize that they had the game to focus on, as opposed to just, you know, getting a retaliatory hit for the sake of retaliation. It wasn't going to help them in the moment. But again, the Sharks created momentum throughout this game. And I think that's something that I've seen them be not great at all throughout the year. Just being able to turn a game around. Like, sometimes when big plays happen, you can ride that momentum. The Sharks weren't getting big plays in this game, but they played a much tighter second period. And then they played a much tighter third period and kept themselves within shouting distance until they did get that goal from Mark-Edward Vlasic. And on that play where Dostal, you know, flops because Colin Graf is somewhere in the vicinity of him outside the crease and he goes down, and then they start retaliating against Graf behind the net, and then Graf loses his helmet and has to skate off the ice. The Ducks just quit playing. And credit to Mark-Edward Vlasic, because he said, hey, they're not playing. Get me the puck. Get me the puck. He's calling for it. He gets it. He scores as Dostal decided to get up off the ice and get back into his crease and start playing again. That is incredible unawareness on the part of the Ducks to just kind of stop playing in that moment. And I don't know what they thought would happen. And that's one of those things. That's another thing I hope the NHL looks at. If you have a player trying to sell a penalty for goalie interference that isn't anywhere near the crease and isn't at all that play, then that should be reviewed by the NHL and called out, because they go down with minimal contact and then lay there. And I guess the ultimate, you know, revenge is that your team stopped playing and the Sharks were able to score a goal there. But you can't have that play happening in the league, in my opinion. You can't have guys just flopping because they think they were touched outside the crease. The game has always been tougher than that. The game has always been a more ego-based, you can't shove me around type game. And I don't want to see it turn into overly selling penalties. And I think the way to do that is to have the NHL from the league, you know, come back and review that and say, hey, you flopped on this play and you're going to get fined for it, because it's just a bad look. I don't think we want guys flopping around out there. I think you want them playing the game and focusing on things. Now, if a guy is hurt, yeah, a guy is hurt. But that's not what happened on that play. That was just a sell job to try and gain some favor with the officials and get a call that didn't exist. And instead, the Sharks score a goal on it because the Ducks stopped playing. But credit to San Jose for continuing to battle throughout this game and giving themselves a chance. They get that goal to make it a 3-2 game, and then they get the game-tying goal with just around 3 minutes remaining from Alex Wenberg, assisted by William Eklund. And the San Jose Sharks make it a 3-3 game. We get into an incredibly exciting and entertaining overtime in which Alexander Georgiev made a number of huge saves, and that's after he had done that in a 5-on-3 penalty kill situation in regulation. And it was a great come-from-behind performance from San Jose, even though they didn't walk away with the win when all was said and done. But it goes through overtime into a shootout. Shootouts are shootouts, and the Sharks walk away with a point out of this one in a 4-3 shootout loss. Let's get into some of these highlights out of last night's game. It started with a goal from Anaheim.
Mason McTavish, another first-round draft pick that's starting to come into his own as a player, will be in the circle against Ty Dellandrea. And McTavish wins the draw. There's a shot. Score! Zegras was in front of the net, might have tipped that opportunity by Sam Colangelo, but that's just a clean face-off win by Mason McTavish and a very quick reaction by Colangelo on the ice to get that tip, and I think Zegras did get it, and it's 1-0 Anaheim.
Not the start I was looking for, but the Sharks did get a response to quickly tie this game up, which at the time I thought was indicative of good things, especially after the way they started in previous games. But really, it was just the lone goal from San Jose. Overall, the first period was lackluster, but Shakir Mamgundulin got his second of the year.
Grundstrom throws to the net. Save made Dostal. Rebound. Dellandrea fights for it in front of the net. Grundstrom puts the body on the man who fought for it in Helleson. And now the Sharks shoot, and they score. Mukka Mamgundulin on the point. Sent that toward traffic. It deflected and went right through the pads of goaltender Dostal. And some cheers from the Sharks fans in attendance tonight as San Jose has just tied it up 1-1.
It's a 1-1 game at this point, but once again, possession and momentum has gone entirely the way of Anaheim, who were just outskating and outworking San Jose in that first period. Jackson Lacombe at the 8:13 mark gives the Ducks a power play 2-1 lead.
Here's Zegras moving in, cut to the circle, throws it back behind the back there onto the stick of Lacombe, and he and Zegras play catch with it. Ziga, now the shot, score! Lacombe takes the wrist shot, and it gets through traffic. I'm not sure if it was tipped in front, but it gets by Georgiev, and Jackson Lacombe, who's on a real tear, made it look easy. Leo Carlson was in front of the net, might have tipped it, and it's 2-1 Anaheim.
And then, in the final minute of the first period, Sam Colangelo added another to make it a 3-1 lead for the Ducks, and just give the Ducks what felt like a period that was going to turn into a game like the previous two San Jose had gone through, being a 6-1 loss to the Rangers and an 8-1 loss to the Kings. Everything was going the way of Anaheim.
Here comes Anaheim moving in. Vetrano back to the point. Here's a slap shot by Gudas just wide. Gudas gets another chance. Fires it toward the net with a minute remaining in the period. Save. Rebound. Score. The Ducks get to the rebound first. Two shots by Radko Gudas. And Sam Colangelo in front of the net is able to tuck it in. 3-1 Anaheim. That's not the way you want to end the first period.
And I think everyone was wondering at this point where the game was going to go. What was San Jose going to do to get themselves back engaged in this game? Because they were certainly not playing their best version of hockey and were not being, you know, the team that we know they've been capable of being since the Four Nations break and really the way they've played all year long. Yes, it's still possible for them to get blown out. Clearly, we've seen these games, but it just didn't seem like the Sharks were going to do it for a third straight night, at least on paper when we entered this game, but it looked like it could get ugly again. But I give the Sharks a lot of credit. They fought their way back into this game, and that to me was the most important thing. And after settling things down and playing much more what I would consider their game, in the third period, they finally find their way back onto the scoreboard by way of Marc-Edward Vlasic scoring his first of the season.
Work free by Graf. He's going to try to get it to Eklund, but Anaheim coming over to play it. They put it to the middle. A shot toward the net there by Jack Thompson. That is a save by Dostal. Dostal shaken up a little bit as a shot by Vlasic goes toward the net wide. And now we've got maybe a penalty coming up here. Graf has got to go to the bench, and now the Sharks shoot and score in a delayed penalty situation. Marc-Edward Vlasic on the point, sending it toward the net, and it gets deflected home, and that was during a delayed penalty call against Anaheim. Meanwhile, I was focusing on Colin Graf because he lost his helmet on the play, and he had to leave the ice. He was the one who kind of clipped Dostal and knocked him down, and Vlasic just fired it toward the net. It ended up going wide, and once again, it came back over to Marc-Edward Vlasic, and the shot from the slot goes in.
And the Sharks kept on battling, giving themselves big opportunities, giving themselves a chance to get back into this game. You didn't know if they were going to be able to do so. But at this point, you're loving the response that the Sharks have shown through the second and that point of the third period. And you're just wondering, can they find a game-tying goal? Well, they did. It took a while, 16:46 into the third period. But Alex Wennberg, 101 of his career, assisted by fellow Swede William Eklund, ties this game at 3.
Eklund right wing. Good shift for the Sharks. Eklund feeds down low far corner. Now back to Graf. One times one from the circle wide of a net. Eklund gets the rebound left corner. Centering play. They score! Alex Wennberg from William Eklund after some ferocious forechecking by San Jose. The Sharks have tied the game 3-3 on Alex Wenberg's goal. And it's 3-3 in the third.
Alex Wennberg continues to come up big for the Sharks as he has done all year long. And this was a moment that the Sharks needed because they fought their way back from a 3-1 deficit, from what looked like another bad game, to now having the opportunity to earn themselves a point. This goes to overtime where Georgiev keeps on making big save after big save. He was phenomenal. One of his best performances of the year, even in a game in which there were 3 goals allowed by San Jose. But Georgiev was phenomenal.
Oh no, fanned on by Liljegren in front of a net. Chance for Anaheim. Leo Carlson fires it wide of a net in front of a goal. Save made off of the play from Zegras by Georgiev. The save of the game so far in overtime.
Huge stops by Georgiev, and again, I am not a huge fan of overtime and the way that it's played 3-on-3, but last night's was pretty darn entertaining. I'll give it that. Then we go to a shootout. It did not go the way of San Jose, but hey, I'm okay with them taking the L in this game overall. They do earn a point. They fought back from a 3-1 deficit in a pretty poor first period, as this one goes the way of Anaheim.
And who does the Sharks coach Ryan Warsopsky send out? Veteran Tyler Toffoli. Remember, he scored a pretty big goal to tie the shootout against Toronto before the game winner by Fabian Zetterlund up in Toronto. Here comes Tyler. He's got to score here against Dostal. And he moves in and he holds the puck and he waits and he shoots it up high and wide. And Anaheim will hang on to win by the score of 4-3 in the shootout. Lucas Dostal had a good game too. And check out the Sharks. They come over right away to console Alexander Georgiev. He was magnificent in the third period and the overtime and really in the shootout too.
Yeah, I think, you know, the veterans were good tonight. Goody and Toff especially on the bench. Mario, we knew it wasn't a good start. We knew, I mean, you can't give up 2 breakaways in the first 5 minutes. It's, you know, kind of inexcusable. So you'd have to be living under a rock to not realize what was going on. So our veterans, I think, stepped up, you know, and we move forward.
That is Ryan Warsopsky after last night's game as we get into some of the post-game reaction here on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Yeah, they responded. The veterans were good. Guys stepped up to the moment. As we continue with Ryan Warsopsky's post-game commentary, he was asked if he had had an update on anything to do with Shakir Mukhmudulin and the injury he suffered.
I haven't heard anything.
No update from Warsopsky, so hopefully we will learn more information later today and tomorrow. It was an unfortunate play, and I hope that there was some sort of reaction from the league. I like the way the Sharks battled back. I'm not worried about the lack of immediate retaliation in that moment. They were more focused on the game, but hopefully the injury did not look as serious as it potentially did to one Shakir Mukhmudulin. The head coach was also asked about Alexander Georgiev, who had a phenomenal performance last night, and Warzo agreed.
Yeah, it's probably the best I've seen him. You know, especially in that 5-on-3 penalty kill. Made some big saves. I thought in overtime he was really locked in. I thought he was really good tonight.
And Warzo had praise for William Eklund.
Yeah, for sure. I thought he was putting his nose over pucks a little bit more, getting to the inside. Obviously makes a good play on the goal, but was doing some other things that we've talked to him about lately. So definitely a step in the right direction.
Warzo was also asked about the potential of Mukhmudulin missing time and what he's meant to the team lately.
Yeah, I feel for the kid because he's playing some really good hockey. He's getting some good experience playing top pair minutes, playing his offside. He's really developed, you know, since this break, on a really, you know, trajectory is really high. And so we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he's okay, but we'll get an update.
Orzo also talked about the team having a nice response after those last 2 games in which they were blown out and if the plane ride home would be a little bit better.
Yeah, I think yeah, for sure. I think, we were down 2 goals going into the third period. We kept playing. We kept competing. Even we didn't get frustrated and try to cheat on the other side of it. So I think that was a step in the right direction after these last 2 stinkers. So got to move forward, get ready, practice tomorrow, and play Thursday.
not a win, but again, the performance that the Sharks showed was much more in line with what we've expected from them all year long, and I think they can be proud about getting back into that game after trailing 3-1. Obviously, the potential of Shakir Mukhmandulin injury news can put a damper on the progress they've made for him specifically this year and as a team, but you've got to be able to deal with injury. That's a reality of life in the NHL. Everyone gets hurt. Every team will deal with injuries. That is just life in the NHL, and hopefully it's not as serious as it looked, and we will get good news whenever we do get an update. If you listened to the build-up yesterday, you heard some of my conversation with Max Miller, who covers the Sharks for NHL.com. Here is the remainder of that conversation as we discussed many of the storylines surrounding San Jose as they head into the offseason and beyond. If we look at, you know, the beyond the first round, do you expect to see Greer maybe lean a little bit more towards defensive needs, or is it just, do you think it's always best available with him?
I think a little bit. I think especially in the first round, I think it's a little bit more positional needs, but at the same time, we haven't really been in this spot where it's like, okay, what's the, because they've just kind of needed everything. So I think this will be the first glance. I think Greer has operated on the best available, at least publicly, but I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of goes value for positional need if he's picking that high. Now, for some reason, they drop, you know, they pass the Blackhawks and they drop to four. Who knows what they're going to do? Higgins could still be on the board. So I definitely think it's going to be a little bit of balancing act. I think Greer will lean positionally, but it all goes back to, you can't ignore Mises' talent as a number one overall pick.
This gets us into the conversation of, not all of these prospects the Sharks have or will have are going to make it to Team Teal. Are you expecting trades to be part of this offseason for San Jose? Or maybe not expecting, but are you wondering about that? Because it's something that keeps on floating through my head. Even the teams that have been really great at turning the wheel of prospects, like we looked at Boston, for instance, they've been really good at keeping that wheel churning. You know, there still have been trades along the way. And I'm not going to be surprised if that does happen with San Jose.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, the whole point of why Greer made some of the trades he did, like the Granlund one, was to get a second first round pick as trade capital, from what it sounds like. That's what he made it sound like. When you look at what the Sharks have and how well they've made trades over the last, you know, little bit, you know, maybe not the Zetterlund trade yet, who knows with that. But like, they have capital to be somewhat buyers. Wouldn't be surprised if there may be a buyer in the at the draft again, maybe package something, one of these prospects in a first round pick that, you know, is good, like a B plus prospect, and the later first round pick, and try and move up to maybe back into the top 20, because that Dallas pick is going to be, you know, top 25, at least we think so. And that's something that I could see the Sharks doing in the draft. I could also see them, maybe there's a disgruntled prospect somewhere that had a high pick, or they're high on somebody that's, you know, in the 18, 19, 21 range that maybe isn't getting a chance and they're just not winning. Like, a, I don't know, like the Rangers have a lot of prospects there too. You could look at Washington and their setup now, and they're getting Ryan Leonard. So there's a whole bunch of avenues Mike Greer could go to, but I think that second first round pick could be a weapon for Mike Greer to use for more trades.
What do you think has been going on with these last couple of games for San Jose, considering how competitive they've been since the break, other than that Colorado game? And then suddenly you get two blowout losses back to back. And yes, the fact that they were back to back games with no rest may have had something to do with it on the second end, but it's not been what we've expecting lately from the team.
Yeah, it's, I think it's a bit of immaturity. That's what, you know, head coach Ryan Rosofsky said this morning as well. It's something that I think this team is learning how to do. They get pretty high, and then they, when they get low, and they drop low, and I think it's just, they gotta, you know, you can't get too high. I mean, they had two great wins over two really good teams. That kind of just, now they feel like, okay, we know what we're doing. We can win games now. You can't get comfortable. And I think part of it is immaturity, and I think part of it is the Rangers were a desperate team. And I'm gonna be honest, I was a little surprised at the Rangers' effort. That's not something they've shown a lot this season, but no, maybe it's a trend to come. The Kings came off a very tough game against Toronto, which they thought they had, and their coach has drilled them to be competitive in every game. Their power play is slowly waking up. I know in the overall scheme of things, it's not great, but the last 10 or so, it's over 20%, and the Sharks just got it there. The Kings are playing hard, and they want the home ice advantage against the Oilers, because that's probably what's going to happen, because that's what always happens, and that team works, and that's what I think Ryan Rosofsky is trying to build, is what the Kings did to the Sharks. Doesn't matter who you're playing. You can play Toronto one night. They didn't take a second off. They played Toronto hard, and the next night they could have easily gone, oh, it's the Sharks, we don't have to play hard. And right, they stayed detailed and blew them out. That's what I think the Sharks are working towards. They just don't have that experience or maturity yet.
When you watch some of the ways that the Sharks have changed and tightened up since the Four Nations break, what have you seen? Because, you know, obviously they've been in tight games overall from the first, you know, first game of the year, literally losing in overtime. Mm-hmm. But honestly, watching them since the break, they do have tighter coverages. They're better in all three zones. It just looks like a tighter team. I mean, is that just what the difference that practice can make, or do you think that the tactical adjustments that Ryan Warsawski has made have allowed the Sharks to be, for the most part, not counting these last few games, that much more, you know, high quality a team or a little bit more competitive?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think they've, you know, they've learned. I mean, you're in the NHL, you're going to learn how to play, you're going to win games, but I definitely think there was a tactical change after the Four Nations of just giving more support along the boards and having closer support, and instead of trying to run as free. I think Warsawski realized this team needs a little bit more structure, and he's giving them that, and they're feeding off it very, very well. So I think it's a little bit of both. The team is learning, and when that structure breaks down, like it did against the Rangers and against the Kings, and the biggest one for me is, I think it was Fogle's first goal, whoever got behind, or no, Trevor Moore's goal, when he got behind the defense, it was kind of like, how did he get there? It was just guys were a little late on their support, so that detail-oriented, when that breaks down and miscommunication, you see the struggles. And so I think it's, you know, a mixture of both. But the structure, more structure, I should say, has definitely, I think, helped. And we've seen that on the ice right away.
We've watched Lane Hutson pull into the lead for the Calder race. I've never been overly concerned with this. I know it's more of what fans are hoping for, just because you want something to celebrate at the end of a rough year for a team. And it's been a rough era for San Jose as they've been in this rebuild. You know, I guess, are you looking at it that unless Macklin goes on a tear, he's probably not going to win it?
Yeah, you know, I think for a while he was kind of keeping Hutson and even Michkov at arm's length. But this last little push, especially Michkov and really Hutson here, I think you look back to the start of the year, you add 12 games of Macklin Celebrini, that's what, another 10 to 12 points.
Yeah.
I think that you could stave it off just a little bit, but I think now you're looking back and you're like, oh, that injury, I think, hurt his chances. Do I think he could still win? Sure, but he needs to have a strong final 2 to 3 weeks here, and it needs to be a real strong one. Could we see it? By all means. I think he finishes second right now. I think it goes Hutson 1, Celebrini 2nd, and either Wolf or Michkov 3rd, and then whoever one of those isn't 3rd is going to go 4th, and I think Smith will be 5th. And I'll just say this. Connor McDavid didn't win the Calder Trophy because he hurt his arm. Shane Gostisbehere did. I think Macklin Celebrini not winning the Calder, if he doesn't, will be just fine.
Yes, no, I agree with you as well. And I think that Macklin Celebrini, for where his game is as an 18-year-old, the youngest guy in the league, is pretty remarkable. I'm not worried about too much. You know, today is April 1st. I won't make any lame April Fool's Day jokes, but we do have until April 16 to watch the San Jose Sharks play these remaining 9 games. What are you hoping to see between now and that final game against Edmonton?
Compete, just the consistent compete. Do I want to see some more wins? Yes. I just want to see them work and have fun. I don't know. The last two games of last season just stick in my head so much. I don't know why, because I look at even the last week, it was tough to play those games because of how bad they were. And that's, you know, I know it's blunt. It's not something that people like to hear, but that's not happening, at least not yet. I don't want it to get to that point. They need to continue to compete hard. And I'd like to see them support their goalies as much as they can, because they've got Georgi Romanov, who last season had to deal with those final two games, and Georgiev, who's shown some improvement in my mind, in my eyes too, but has still struggled. Don't leave them out to dry, because I think, especially for Georgiev, like his professional hockey career in the NHL is probably at stake with this last month of the season. Like, he has had an awful last year and a half, and support him. Give him a chance to continue, even if it's not in San Jose, and give the young guys chances. And it looks like that's what's happening, especially with Lund playing on that top line yesterday. And it sounds like the sleepover line of Smith, Toffoli, and Celebrini is getting a look tonight.
We look back at the final three games of the year last year. They lost 6-2 to the Wild, 9-2 to the Oilers, and then 5-1 to Calgary. And yeah, that was not a whole lot of fun for those Sharks teams. I think, you know, to your point, it was ugly there at the end. And yeah, I think they want to avoid that. Just as a final one for you, what is your view of Ryan Warsawski in year one been? Obviously he's, you know, he's more talkative after wins than losses, but I think that he's been pretty honest with the media throughout the entirety of the year. He hasn't tried to paint a picture that we're all not looking at.
Yeah, I agree with you there. He's been pretty honest. Sometimes with the lineup, he just hides things, and I'm like, just tell us, come on. But other than that, that's just a media preference, you know. But I think he's been terrific as a head coach. I think he's learned a lot. I think he still has a lot to learn, and he admits that himself, which is very good. But I mean, strictly just off the standings, they have more wins than they did last year at this point. Like, he's improved the team. There's a semblance of light. And the other thing that you know, no, nothing against David Quinn, but part of the reason last year was trying to keep the morale up, and that was something that he struggled a lot with. We haven't seen that issue with Wersowski, and with a team as young as this one, with players as young as they are, and Smith and Celebrini and all these other guys that are young, that's critical. And that to me is you brought in structure, you brought in development, you got a glimpse of success, and morale has remained high almost the entire season. I think the last little bit before the Four Nations was a little tough, but since then it's been terrific.
Again, that is Max Miller of NHL.com joining us here on Morning Tide. We are out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Raney signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.